Welcome to another Carlin and Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we've got another special guest.
We've had a number of special guests, all from originating from the Northern Hemisphere.
Absolutely. You can't argue that.
Where's our current guest from, Rob?
Canada. Yeah, I'll let Rhino Hanley, I'll let you tell us a little bit about where you're from.
Yeah, so I'm from a little town in the province of Saskatchewan.
Yes.
Out in the Western Prairie Provinces.
Can you pronounce that, Sean?
I would practice, but I won't do it right now.
Now, Ryan has coached the Australian men's ice hockey team. He's also coached Adelaide Adrenaline for 3 seasons, and he's currently the National Director of Player Development. Tell us a little bit, how did you get into those roles, and what is your background with ice hockey?
Well, I got into those roles. I moved over here from Western Australia in 2010, and I've been there since 2004. Obviously, came over with a Canadian, played hockey my whole life. I was coaching at a fairly high level in Canada. When I came over to WA, I started playing and then obviously got involved in coaching. When we moved over in 2010, one of the first people I contacted was John Botterill, who was managing the ice arena at the time. And I'd met John previously at a national ice hockey event, and John just said to me, he says, well, are you interested in helping out with the Adelaide Adrenaline? I said, yep, sounds great. So ended up as an assistant coach with the club for a couple of years, and then into the head coaching role. And in the meantime, got involved at the national level with player development, and through that got asked to coach the national team. So a little bit of, you know, previous experience coaching, a little bit probably just being in the right place at the right time, but obviously passionate about the sport, and that goes a long way to getting into those roles.
So how has ice hockey changed, like, since you've been, how long have you been in Australia for?
I've been in Australia since 2004.
2004, so what have you seen, how have you seen ice hockey change in that period of time? Is it a growing sport in Australia?
I wouldn't say it's a growing sport per se. I mean, we're trying to grow the sport. Facilities are having an impact on that. It's tough to grow without, you know, and facilities are expensive. So growth in numbers hasn't changed much since I've been here. But we are seeing a tremendous increase in our players' skill development. And so technical skills like skating, for example, we were behind a lot of the nations that we compete against at the international level up until about 3-4 years ago, and we've caught up with those nations. Now we see that when we send our teams away to world championships. A good example, our youth team, which is the under-18s, got promoted back-to-back in the IIHF tournaments. That never happens. So we've had tremendous improvement there. So we don't have a lot of players, but our skill level is improving quite significantly.
You will need to get more players, because, you know, to sort of go that extra step, you need the numbers behind it. Now, there was talk of having an ice rink at Elizabeth. What's happened? That's been on again, off again. What's the story there?
Yeah, look, I've been in contact with the guy leading that project a few times. And, you know, obviously we support new facilities, Ice Hockey Australia, that's their position. Look, I think it's just one of those things. It's been shelved by council. There's a new council in Playford. It's a big project. I mean, I'm not across all the details, but from my understanding, it's not a dead project. It's just now it's delayed. Obviously, that's not a good thing for our sport. But they're trying hard to revive it, keep it going, and we're hopeful that that there'll be something done as far as a new facility.
And that's the real hard thing, isn't it, for a lot of sports in Australia. Like, we have our big sports that dominate, and then we have a lot of sports competing for that next level.
I was down watching the girls play the Adelaide Rush,
yeah,
and I was really impressed. There was quite a good crowd there and really passionate. They were playing against Melbourne, and you could see there was certainly a difference in the standard, but I thought the crowd here are really enjoying this. But it's just a struggle, isn't it, like, for the smaller sports to be able to have the facilities and then attract the players and keep them, because there's so many sports they're competing against.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And if you look at it, I mean, a sport like ice hockey, I mean, the facility, you know, these days you're looking at a minimum $10 million spend just to get a training-type facility. And then, of course, with the cooling system for the ice and the cost of electricity, I mean, it's a fairly significant investment just to provide the venue which is required to play. So, I mean, there's we've got some good facilities around Australia, but that's certainly a challenge getting new ones up and running. And, you know, it takes a lot of investment financially to get the facility and then to maintain them long term.
Talking about facilities, the last couple of years I've been off to the Adelaide Entertainment Centre to watch USA play Canada in ice hockey, and whereas the seats down low aren't the best, getting up and looking down at it, it's a great spectacle. And, you know, can a facility, is that what ice hockey needs, a facility similar to that?
Yeah, that would be, I mean, that'd be outstanding, and it's a fantastic sport. And you hit it right at nail right on the head, too. So advice to people who want to watch a hockey game, get up a little higher. Don't get right down at ice level. It's too fast. Get up higher, you can view the whole ice surface, and then you see how quick and dynamic that game is. But, yeah, look, and again, we don't need a stadium that seats 10,000, but it would be great to have something that had, you know, was able to seat 2,000 or 3,000 people. So the more people could get exposed to the sport, and I think that would help grow numbers.
Where do the players come from? I mean, we've had a number of kids at our school involved in inline hockey,
Yep. And
they seem to also have a link with ice hockey. Is that, I mean, because like skating, ice skating is not, again, hasn't been a big thing in South Australia. So where are how did the kids get involved? Where did they come from?
Yeah, like I think, you know, the Adelaide Adrenaline have been around, and prior to them, the Adelaide Avalanche. So they've been around for, be 25 years. So a lot of, there's a legacy there of the sport being played at a high level here in Adelaide. Up this way, Peter King, who runs the inline club, up in Gawler, he used to be the goaltender for the Adelaide Adrenaline. I know Peter quite well, and he's done a really great job of getting people in to play inline and then encouraging a lot of those kids to come play ice hockey. So we do get a lot of kids that go inline and ice. And inline's a great sport in its own right, but when you get on the ice, it's I mean, there are some similarities, but it's quite a different sport on the ice because of the stop-start nature, which you don't have in inline. So I think a lot of those kids, they like that. They get, you know, it's a real attraction to them because it adds another element of quickness and pace to the sport.
I think that we had ice arenas at Elizabeth when I was a kid, and I remember in the early 80s, I believe at Paynham, I remember I was so proud just to skate without falling. You know, I wouldn't call it skating, but stay on my feet. And I remember about 30-odd years ago when my children were really young, as a family we went to the ice arena, and there was four teams that participated then, and it was just a really exciting game to watch. It was difficult because of the distance from Gawler to travel on a Saturday night with the family, but we did go once or twice, and the kids loved it. We loved it. It's a pity it wasn't more accessible to the family when my kids were young.
Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, a new facility would help that. And I have to say, like, even down at Theberton now at the ice arena with the Northern Expressway being basically completed, South Road, all that construction, it's a lot easier to get down there.
Absolutely.
And look, I have to say, I went to some Adelaide Adrenaline games last year. Obviously, as a former coach, you're always going to follow the team. And the crowds were good. The crowds were really good. They were packed in there. The team's rebuilding, so they're not competing for a finals berth like they were, you know, a few years ago. But it's still a really good brand of hockey, and I think we were getting good crowds. So I think if people continue to support it, then, you know, that also, you know, helps to get new facilities in place.
So the men's season is about to kick off, is that correct?
That's correct.
And so where does South Australia fit in terms of ice hockey, and like what are the dominant states? Are some states stronger than others?
Yes. So, I mean, we are nationally, we're one of the smaller states. So we are actually the second smallest. And when I say states, that includes ACT. So ACT's got the smallest membership base. Then we're next smallest. So we're not a big fish by any stretch. New South Wales is obviously, they're the biggest state as far as numbers. Western Australia has grown dramatically in the last few years, and they've become very, very strong. So that, and obviously Victoria has got solid numbers too. So we're a smaller group. So it's harder for us to compete. So we need to do a better job of player development in South Australia to compete at that level. And for a team like the Adrenaline, I mean, it does make it a little bit more difficult because you don't have the same player pool to draw from. That being said, there's two teams in Victoria. They're playing the AHL, and there are three from New South Wales. So they have a few more. That they all have to share that player pool, but Perth has just the one team, the Perth Thunder, and they got a very strong program. And you can see that they, when they jumped in the AHL a few years ago, they immediately were competitive for a final spot. And they've been to the finals, I think, almost every year since they've come into the league. And that's a lot to do with their strong player base feeding that one team.
I think one of the positives for ice hockey on the radio has been Cyrus and Jody morning show. Of course, Jody Oddie's married to
Greg Oddie. Yep, yeah.
One of the top South Australian ice hockey Hall of Famers, isn't he?
Well, I'd say, look, Greg is has had an outstanding career. I mean, he was the captain of Adelaide when I coached them, and he was captain of the national team when I coached it. I think he's represented Australia more times than any other player, something like 18 or 19 times. I can't quote off the top of my head, but it's a lot. That guy's played hockey all over the world. I mean, what a stellar career. And, yeah, I mean, we do get some exposure there through Jody and Soda because of that connection. But, yeah, it's a stellar career he's had.
So the Australian Hockey League, in terms of travel and competition, it must be, again, quite expensive for teams to get from place to place. How do they run that competition? Do they have, double headers on weekends? Do they have to travel a lot, or is there minimal travel?
Yeah, so it's double headers. So what we do is you tend to play, you'll go to a state and you'll play twice. You'll travel on Saturday morning, typically play Saturday afternoon or evening, and then play again Sunday afternoon. Fly over. So New South Wales trips, for example, we'd fly over, bus to Newcastle from the airport, play Newcastle overnight, bus back to play either the Sydney Ice Dogs or the Sydney Bears, and then catch the last flight out of Sydney. So it's actually a very grueling schedule. Perth, for example, you go over, play doubleheader, come back. It's a big ask for those men that are, a lot of them are working, some have families, kids. It's a big ask and big commitment for them because it's not glamorous on the road. It's a lot of work. And it's a tough trip.
Now, if memory serves me correctly, in some of these travel incidents that you have, wasn't there a bus accident somewhere along the line in Campbell or something?
Yep.
What happened there?
Yeah, 2014. We were going to play the Canberra team, CBR Brave. And we flew out of Adelaide first thing in the morning. We get the bus from at the airport in Sydney. So we were just flying to Sydney, and then because we're going to Canberra and then coming back the next day to play in Sydney. And then on the way out to Canberra, just at I think Eagle Hawk, we rolled the bus. We rolled it. It went over 2.5 times, and ended up in the nature strip between the two divided highways there. I was in the front passenger seat of that vehicle.
Oh, you weren't driving then?
No, I wasn't driving. There were 11 of us on the bus.
And everyone okay?
Yeah, well, it was a miracle that everyone was okay. We were, when the bus came to a rest, I was actually, my leg came out of the vehicle, was underneath the bus. We were propped up against some shrubs that were growing in the nature strip. And I looked up. I had to look up. The driver was up, wearing his seatbelt. He was up above me, and I mean, you could just see he was like in shock for a moment, and then we were calling for the players. And to be honest, we didn't want to look back because we thought that we would see bodies, and it was because we rolled so violently, and everybody walked off the bus, which was an absolute miracle. But it sort of dawned on me that we had to do things different travel wise. It's too much to do that time, road trip. Time and again, it's a lot of stress on the volunteers that are involved with the club. But that pretty sobering experience that was.
It's interesting that you use the word miracle because, of course, USA and Russia involved in the miracle on ice with the Olympics at
1980. Yeah, we had the game on in my house. I remember I was just a kid then, but and of course didn't quite understand how my dad was cheering for the U.S., but. Yeah, I remember that game being on, yeah.
So, Sean, is there anything...
I was just going to ask about, you're saying about our junior players now getting better and better. Do they get opportunities now to maybe go over... I mean, I know we've got a lot of kids that we've spoken to in different sports who are going over for U.S. scholarships. Are there scholarships for, have any of our kids had that opportunity? Can you do that? Can they go to Canada, for example, for scholarships or to the U.S.?
Yeah, certainly. So we had a girl from WA. Her name was Olivia Del Basso, and she went to I think it was Ferris State in the U.S. or I believe that was the college. It was one of the colleges over there. It was a very strong hockey program. So don't quote me on the college for by any stretch. But she went over on a scholarship, and that was a Division I school. So pretty good achievement. So those opportunities are there. One of the challenges that we face is that we do have kids that want to go over and experience that. But because our player pool is so small, if they go overseas, then they often aren't here for our local competitions, and that hurts our local competitions. So I don't want to discourage kids from doing that, but it's about going at the right time. And the other issue we've got a lot of these, they've set up private academies. So this is pre-college years. You know, we're talking high school, grade, you know, years, you know, 8, 9, 10, sometimes even younger in these private academies. And they've sprung up all over North America. They're charging a large amount of money. But the quality of coaching isn't there in a lot of them. Some of them it is, some of them is not. So you're kind of rolling the dice a bit. And we'd like players to sort of come to IHA, talk to us, because we can put them in contact with reputable colleges if they want to go overseas. And to be honest, our recommendation is to go a little bit later, not to go at that early age, because you're jeopardizing your education as well. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing.
Well, thank you very much, Ryan. We've got to have you on again. I'd like to talk to you about Wayne Gretzky and a few other ice hockey stars. So ends another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.